Meat!
BT!
What's going on, man?
Just living, man.
Are
just,
you?
Yeah.
You got any more random dates?
I don't have any random.
What do you got this week?
What you guys are
talking
about?
Well, it's not random anymore. It seems like a pretty big relationship.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, are you IAR right now?
What's IAR?
Do we want to have this discussion?
INA relationship.
Yeah. Oh. Is that like a shorthand on the computer or something? Is that like a Twitter lingo?
Maybe. Might be.
Huh.
But are you?
No.
Oh, I'm okay.
What? I don't know what you're talking
about.
Has
anybody cooked you dinner recently?
Maybe not.
That's nice. See, that's real deal stuff right there. What'd you have, potentially, if there was a dinner cooked?
Which time?
The time maybe where you met her family.
Oh, I haven't met anybody's family yet.
Oh, it's coming.
Didn't you go to
like a sibling, but not like
that's family.
I'm thinking mom and dad. That's yeah. I did not have a meal when I met the siblings. I have had steak though, and asparagus.
That's really good.
Nice. Pork chops one time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man. She knows the way to your heart.
Yeah.
Biscuits and gravy?
Yeah.
She was over for breakfast, huh?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
People eat breakfast for dinner all the time.
Not biscuits and gravy.
I do biscuits and gravy for dinner.
No, they're not.
Nope.
It's not happening.
So here's our prize today, guys.
I didn't ask you for the prize yet.
We're on a clock here.
I can rush through the prize.
Clock,
whatever.
Clock.
We're on a what?
Clock.
All right. What are we fighting over, Mead? We'll get back to this.
We've got tickets to see the Cardinals wrap up their series with the Reds on September 1st. All kids 15 and under. BT, you might be able to get in on this.
Oh, okay.
All kids 15 and under will take home their very own Cardinal pajama pants. You can get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
Mead, if I bring a friend, we'll sew them together. You can have them.
Yes!
Let's bring in today's fighter. It's Peter. Peter, what's going on?
Hey.
You ready to take on Randy?
Hey.
I was kind of hoping that Peter would just come in with a
hey.
That's better. Thank you,
there
Peter.
You go.
Peter.
Good enough.
You ready to take on Mega Mind today?
I am.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Question number one. On this date, Ricky Henderson broke Lou Brock's single season steals record. What year did he do it in? Was it 1980, 81, or 82?
81.
Question number two. Which Cardinal pitcher currently has 9 wins without making a single start? Is it Andrew Miller, John Gant, or Carlos Martinez?
Well, I remember when John Gant started on Tuesday. No, sorry, that was my Mega Mind. I'm going to go with Andrew Miller.
Question number three, Peter. Mizzou announced today that they will be playing Arkansas at Arrowhead Stadium in the 2020 season. What team did Mizzou beat for their last win at Arrowhead Stadium? Was it Kansas, Boston College, or BYU?
Ooh. It's got to be Kansas.
What do you mean, got to be?
I mean...
Get out of here.
Oh.
That makes my day. I don't know why. Oh, question number four, Peter. Besides Prince Fielder in 2007 and 2009, who is the only Brewer with 40 or more home runs in 2 seasons? Is it Richie Sexton, Ryan Braun, or Gorman Thomas?
Ooh. I want to go with the PED guy. I don't know. Yeah, let's go with Braun.
All right. Let's bring in Randy. Peter, how we feeling? All right. Peter's feeling it. He's good to go. He's ready to rock and roll. Oh, man. I appreciate that. Did you ever get the Peter Griffin? Does anybody ever do that to you?
Yeah, Peter Griffin, yeah? Yeah. Oh, yeah, all day.
That's what I figured. That's what I figured. Hey, Randy, say hi to Peter.
Hey, Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing there?
I'm doing well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. We appreciate it.
Oh, no.
Created a monster for Andy, and I'm not even mad about it. Here we go. Question number one, Randy. On this date, Ricky Henderson broke Lou Brock's single-season steals record.
I'm the greatest of all time.
What year was it?
I think Ricky did that in 1991.
Question number two, Randy. Which Cardinal pitcher currently has 9 wins without making a single start?
9 victories without making a single start this season. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? So it's probably a bullpen guy that's been there all year, and that would give us not Miller or Webb. I don't think Gant has that many victories. This is whack. Okay, I'll just go through the rest
this
of the guys.
This is whack.
I didn't know there was a guy that had this many wins. Okay, it's not Carlos, is it?
I can't tell you.
Why? Darn it.
That's the game, man.
Okay, you know what I'll do?
All right.
In the essence of time, I'll do the lifeline thing.
All right. Is it Carlos?
No.
Andrew Miller, John Gant.
Oh, all three. I'll go with John Gant then, I guess.
You're up, Meade.
All right, Randy. Question number three. Mizzou announced today that they would play Arkansas at Arrowhead Stadium in 2020. What team did they beat for their last win at Arrowhead Stadium?
That was Gary Pinkel's last game, I think, against BYU.
That sounded more like Yoda.
And question number four, besides Prince Fielder, Randy, in 07 and 09, who is the only Brewer with 40 or more home runs in 2 different seasons?
I'm thinking that it's Ryan Braun. I'll go with Ryan Braun.
We got a winner.
We have an argument in the room.
Well, it doesn't matter because Peter answered four but didn't get any right. So, Randy, you're the winner here. On this date, it was probably 2-0, probably. On this date, Ricky Henderson broke Lou Brock's single-season steals record. It was, says here, 1982. That feels like way too early.
130 stolen bases. That was the most he had in a single season.
Oh, did he break the all-time record?
Is that what
in
it was?
The 90s, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not this an was, idiot. That's right.
This was single season.
I was okay. I was thinking all time. So okay.
Yeah.
Real quick, I don't think
all
that
time
can,
would be 91.
I don't think that we can jump to conclusions and just say he's not an
that.
Idiot right off the bat.
No.
By the way, the jump to conclusions, Matt, that should come out. John Gant is the vulture of the Cardinals bullpen. 9 wins without making a single start. BYU in 2015 was the last time Mizzou won a game at Arrowhead. And it is Richie Sexson was the last. It's Prince Fielder and Richie Sexson is 2 Brewers to have 2 40-plus homer years. He had 45 home runs in 01 and 03. Peter, thanks for playing, man. Try again.
Thanks, Peter.
Oh, thanks,
was
Peter.
Was Braun on that list?
Yes, he was on
I
the
would
list.
Have gotten it wrong
Along
even
with Norman
if I...
Thomas.
Well, okay. Peter called him the PED guy, but we should be careful and say allegedly because it turns out the courier was just an anti-Semite.
I don't think it turned out that way at all.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I think Braun might have agreed to a suspension.
Ryan Braun is the damn worst.
Turns out he was a turd.
Yeah, no
hey,
doubt.
Well, allegedly.
When he drops a pop-up in left field and allows 2 runs to score, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Who that man. Had a great time this morning out at Fox Run with Scott Misbach and Nate Kramer and Jake Pressler. Played some golf and had a great time. They were involved in a charity event that I was involved in, and we went out to Fox Run and played this morning. They played better than I did, but thanks to those guys for participating and having a good time.
How'd you hit him, Randy?
Not great.
It happens.
Yeah, I can be better.
What aspect of your game was on point today? Did you have one?
Back nine, I was getting off the tee pretty well.
All right.
And my putting is okay. It's everything in between that.
Kinda That's all right. Stinks. Don't worry about the approach shots. Who cares about that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, really, who practices? Coming up in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Did I give the time check already? I'll give it now. Again, maybe 4:15. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. And not too long ago, most of you that's the letter U, were worried about the Cardinals having enough healthy arms to get them down the stretch. Is that the case anymore? That's next on 101 ESPN. BT, Ranjay, and Randy in the fast lane. And not too long ago, a lot of the conversation surrounding the Cardinals was about how would they find enough arms? How would they have enough pitches to last through September? And in the last 17 games, the starting pitching has been much more effective. Ranj, as you mentioned yesterday, the Cardinals have the second fewest bullpen innings pitched in the National League?
Over the last month.
Over the last month. So that's telling. And some of the guys are getting better. Andrew Miller, 8 innings pitched this month with only 3 hits allowed and 3 runs allowed. Tyler Webb, since July 22nd, 16 games, 6 hits allowed, 1 run. Starters have figured that out for the most part, aside from tonight's starter, Miles Michaelis. As we know, Flaherty and Hudson are pitching well. And the key, as far as I'm concerned, is going to be that pair of young pitchers, because Flaherty has gone through a September before, not through a September pennant race. Dakota Hudson has never gone through a September pennant race as a starting pitcher. To me, the key for the Cardinals is going to be what they can get specifically out of those two starters, because I think you can mix and match, especially in September, with the limited innings that you'll get from Michaelis, 5 innings in each of his last 3 starts, Waino and Waka.
I don't think you can. I really don't. I think that the biggest key assets are the 3 that you mentioned, and maybe not Waka, because you have a piggyback set up with Ryan Helsley already. And it is definitely it would be going way too far to just expect Jack Flaherty to continue to do what he's doing at the highest level. He's been so damn good, and I do believe that he's going to finish really strong this year. Now, is it going to be to like a .0 something ERA for the month clip? I don't know about that, but I think he's going to be great. Dakota Hudson has finally turned that corner. Looked like he hit the rookie wall and then kind of ran right through it here recently. Would love to see him finish strong, but I still don't think that that's enough. I don't think that you can have 2 guys and then have to mix and match the whole way. I realize that in September you have reinforcements coming and you have different arms, but you need Michaelis for sure. I need to be able to lean on Miles Michaelis. I need him to be able to take the ball and have the same feeling that I have with when Jack Flaherty takes him out. Like, I need that out of him. I don't necessarily need that out of Adam Wainwright, and you're not going to get it out of Waka, but I need innings also. Miles Michaelis, to me, is the biggest key when you're talking about these arms.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a really good stretch over the last couple of weeks from most of the guys in the rotation we're talking about. But now, this is where the hard part happens. This is 4.5 weeks of having to get through. And again, like I mentioned earlier, it's a good thing that over that last month, those bullpen innings have been down, because I think that means they're in a pretty good position in terms of health, in terms of freshness, that you can, you know, you have a little bit of wiggle room here. You've got leeway, but that can get out of hand quickly if your starters go a stretch of like a week or two and they're just not going deep into games. So with the exception of Flaherty, who's been going deep and doing just exceptionally. I mean, he looks so, so good. He is pitching like the guy we thought he was supposed to be. And it took him a little bit to get there, but he's there. And there's no doubt about it. He's one of the better pitchers in the National League, and I don't think it's arguable against. But I do have the same concerns BT does, that if you go a couple of weeks here and for whatever reason those things sort of fall back, you know, the innings from the starters, the quality innings from the starters, they fall back again for whatever reason. And, you know, things can change in a hurry in baseball, and in particular in the National League, they can change in a hurry. We've seen it happen multiple times already this season. I just hope it doesn't go the other way, because if it does, then we're looking at potential issues in like 2 or 3 weeks when we get to the middle of September.
And I think adding a couple of relievers, if you add Junior Fernandez, if you add Austin Gomber, if you add Daniel Ponce de Leon to that bullpen, all guys, hopefully, that you think that you can rely on.
Should help.
Yeah, I think that changes the dynamic of how you can utilize the bullpen. I'm not saying that you can have your starters going 3 1/3.
Right.
No. I'm saying that if, rather than the 6 that we ordinarily ask them for, if you can get 5 and mix and match with a 10-man bullpen, or just have a different bullpen every other day.
Oh, Jesus.
But no, I think if you do it that way, I have a lot of confidence in Mike Schilt's ability to utilize those guys. And hey, you're going to get the odd six-inning start out of Waino at home, right? 6 2/3 or whatever. It's not going to happen that every single start in September is going to be a five-inning start. But I do go back to the thing, though, something that has not happened before. And it's really hard to have happen. Young pitchers being your studs in September is going to have to happen for them.
Yeah, sure. No, that doesn't happen. You're right. And my question is, and I don't know the answer to this, and I do agree with Randy, the statement that Mike Schilt has done a very good job of utilizing his bullpen. There's not a guy out there in the pen right now that is, in case of emergency, break glass. The closest thing to that is Helsley, and they're using him exactly how you'd expect him to be used in long stints, piggybacking Michael Wacha. But my question is, down the stretch, even when you have different arms available, and I'm assuming that the offense is going to continue to be productive. So take a game like last night, for example, but let's make the score a little bit closer. But your starter gets bounced a little bit early, but it's a tighter ball game. I still see Mike Schilt managing that game as he normally would. Where
it's a playoff game.
Yes, and it ends up being down the stretch. You're going to keep seeing the same stuff over and over again. Certainly others will emerge, and maybe somebody, not to the extent that Giovanni Gallegos has done it, but maybe it's Ryan Helsley that ends up being in a bigger role and steps forward. Could be Ponce de Leon with the stuff that he has that could emerge into a bigger and bigger role. But I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for the same arms to continually be in games, and I'm very interested to see how Mike Schilt deploys them.
Yeah, see, now for me, last night's game, I probably, you'd already scored 9 runs at that point. I'm probably letting him go a little bit longer, just because I want to, as best as I can, maintain that bullpen health I'm talking about, because I think that's going to be really important in the final 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It might be, for this team, the way they play, it might be the deciding factor what happens in this division is how this Cardinals bullpen performs in the final 2 weeks.
And here's a guy for you. If you need a guy that, if you're down 8-1 in the third, like the Brewers were last night, and you need a guy to give you innings, I think it might be Genesis Cabrera. His last half dozen starts, 6 innings, 7 innings, 6 1/3, 5, 6, and 7. Has he been that great? No, he's allowed a lot of earned runs, but at least he's given them innings and pitches. And maybe he's the guy that gets you from the third to the seventh in a situation like that.
In a game you feel like you're not going to win?
Yeah, because if I'm the Cardinals next Tuesday, I'm bringing up every single pitcher on my 40-man. I'm going to have every single pitcher on my 40-man on my major league roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that you ever worry about of bringing too many guys up is your dynamic.
Yeah,
generally, though, with pitchers, you're not messing stuff up.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to happen. You're going to be fine there. I'm going to bring up anybody that's going to make my ball club better. And that's how...
That's all the pitchers.
That would probably be it. Yeah, all hands on deck at this point. You're not worried about spending a little extra cash there in the bullpen. So it's going to be so interesting. I love the fact that the Cardinals have a tiny bit of a cushion right now, but don't... I mean, I think it was right before Players Weekend, where the Cardinals a half game back. So stuff can change quickly.
By the way, Cabrera, his last start on the 24th, 7 shutout innings. He struck out 12 and walked only 2 against Omaha. So he was good in that game. He was relatively good in his game before that. 6 innings, he allowed 2 runs, struck out 5 and walked 3. He clearly needs to be better, but at least he's a guy you know can give you some innings.
Right. And it's too bad they don't have Jed Jerko anymore. He could give you some player innings.
Yeah, he was always that guy.
And there is one more thing to consider here, and this is why the pitching is going to be so important. This stretch of offense the Cardinals have gotten over the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks, I don't think you can expect that all next month. So they've been able to, if there have been any pitching issues, cover that up, but you're not going to get 12 runs, 11 runs, 8 runs regularly, 6 runs. They haven't scored fewer than 6 runs in almost a week, and only one time in the last week have they scored fewer than 6.
Amazing.
I don't know if that trend continues to that degree. I think the offense is certainly better now. I expect them to be better than they were earlier in the season, but I don't think you can count on 9 runs per game here in the final month.
No. Coming up in the Fast Lane, the college football season is underway, and Mizzou will get their season kicked off this weekend in Wyoming. We're going to talk all things college football with ESPN's Ryan McGee. He's next on 101 ESPN. Mizzou and Wyoming on Saturday night to open the 2019 season for the Tigers. Of course, the college football season is already underway with Florida's win over Miami on Saturday night. Ryan McGee of ESPN, kind enough to join us here on 101 ESPN with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. Ryan, this is Randy Carricker, and thanks for taking some time. How you doing?
I'm good. I was down at Kennedy Space Center a couple weeks ago, and that's how I feel right now, like the big countdown clock, right, that we're all staring at. I'm ready to I told my wife this morning, I said, we're about 2 days away from me getting on an airplane and coming home in January.
I found myself, Ryan, way too geeked up for week zero. Like, it just feel like it's been forever since we've seen some football.
Yeah, and listen, week zero is great. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to complain about having extra football or earlier football, and it's certainly better than NFL preseason, which I would rather go to the dentist than watch that stuff. And so, I'll take what I can get. But I've sent a note to Dan Mullen and Manny Diaz both saying we could have used a better game.
Yeah, no doubt.
So we have obviously spent a lot of time during this this college football offseason talking about Mizzou and how good they look going into the year. But also there's this cloud hanging over them with the bowl ban and with the infractions. We don't know yet what's going to happen. When will we know, and what do you think is going to happen with the appeal?
Well, I think we're going to know probably sooner than later. I mean, everyone I've talked to, and we're talking about the NCAA here, so who knows? But for what I've talked to, we're talking about within like probably the next 6 weeks. I mean, I think we'll know it by the middle of the year. And so the part of all of this that I think is the greatest compliment you could give Barry Odom and to the team itself is that everyone stayed. You know, Kelly Bryant walked in the door, had an opportunity to walk right back out the door, and did not, and hadn't been on campus very long. And so the fact that everyone, even with this hanging out there, has decided to stick around is a huge compliment to what they built over there. And I'll say this too, you know, if they are told you can't play in a bowl game this winter, you know, I think we all know Barry Odom well enough to know that that's a man that can turn that into gasoline. Right, that's a man that could that locker room probably would see that as motivation, and they'll decide, all right, we'll just play our bowl games during the regular season. So I hope, I really do, that it goes their way, because I think that team deserves it. And I'm a big Kelly Bryant fan, as you guys know, but at the end of the day, who knows? But I think we will know probably before we get too deep into the fall.
NCAA seemed to make it clear that the ruling with Mississippi State has nothing to do with any other infractions cases. At least that's what that letter said. Do you think, though, it will have any bearing on what they decide to do?
Well, I don't see how it can't. I mean, you know, that's the thing. But, you know, we did this amazing exercise a couple years ago where they brought a bunch of writers up to Indianapolis, and we spent the entire day, I think it was a couple days, going through you know, kind of a Cliff Notes version of the investigation process and all that stuff. And it was fascinating. I still have no idea what I was looking at, you know, and I think that what I learned was, and I live in the state of North Carolina, you know, there's no question that the University of North Carolina did a lot of things they shouldn't have done and did it for a long time, and yet they're not in trouble. And then we're seeing schools get in trouble for a lot less than that, particularly when it comes to academics. So, the history says one case really doesn't affect the other, and I think that's where they're going with that, but I just don't see how when you're basically making these two determinations right on top of each other, I don't see how it can't sway the room a little bit.
Ryan McGee of ESPN with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. All right, Ryan, I know that everybody asks you this question, and it's obligatory, so I'm going to. Give me the one team based on its quality and its schedule that can crash the Clemson-Alabama party.
Well, to me, the entirety of college football is kind of in three groups. You know, there's Clemson and Alabama, obviously, and until somebody – it's Ric Flair, right? And if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man, and no one's beaten them yet. So the next group are the teams that have been in the best position to do that. You know, I think that there's no reason to believe that Oklahoma is going to slow down, because I don't think they will. I think that Georgia is probably set up for success for the next decade. So that second group is who I would put in there. Maybe Ohio State. I really am. I'm not 100% sold on their situation, but everybody continues to try to do so. And then there's a third group. And that third group, to me, those are the party crashers because, you know, I'm going in assuming that we're going to have Clemson and Alabama, Oklahoma, and, you know, give me a fourth. And now when I look at that third group and I'm looking at LSU and I'm looking at A&M and I'm looking at, you know, maybe somebody out of the Big 12, I'm going to see Texas on Saturday night. I'm curious to see what they're all about. And so I think that's the group where the party crashers are going to come from. The problem is that most of the best party crasher candidates make their living in the same division as Alabama. And so it makes it very difficult to be the team that's going to crash that party. But I think LSU has a chance to be really, really good, and A&M as well.
And I wanted to ask you about Texas A&M. Do you think they're there yet with Jimbo Fisher? Could 2019 be the year for them already?
I don't think they're there yet. But as long as Kellen Mond is there, I like their chances. I like that kid a lot. And, you know, Marty Smith and I, we do our Marty McGee coaches specials down at SEC Media Days, as you guys know. And we had Barry Odom's our boy. But we had some players in there this year. And that was really my first chance to sit down and chat with Kellen Mond. And I'm going to write about him next week, as a matter of fact, leading into that huge game with Clemson. I don't think A&M can beat Clemson. But I said that a year ago as well, and they should have won that football game. So if it wasn't for Kelly Bryant – who's in Columbia now, Clemson doesn't win that football game. So I think the A&M is probably a few steps away, but they're certainly a lot closer, a lot faster than I thought they were going to be.
Ryan, we know that Oklahoma has been churning out their quarterbacks, man. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Heisman's, now it's Jalen Hurts, as you were talking about. What does Jalen Hurts look like in Lincoln Riley's offense? We saw him early in his career at Alabama. He was a run-first guy. Then we saw him turn into more of a polished passer. What does he look like there?
Well, he looks like he's somewhere in between. You know, Mayfield and Murray were so different because Baker's bigger than people think he is. You know, he's way thicker in the chest. He's bigger across the shoulders. If he took off running, he could knock you down if you got in the way. Kelly Bryant, our Heisman Trophy winner, he wasn't going to do that. He was the water bug guy, right? He was the guy who was going to – he's Franco Harris. He was going to sneak around you and not get tackled. Jalen Hurts is somewhere in between those two. He's huge. He's such a big guy. So when he does run, he's going to make you pay for trying to bring him down. And just like you said, he became a much more polished passer than anyone is willing to give him credit for. And here's the thing about him. He's so smart. And obviously Lincoln Riley, and I've covered Lincoln Riley at Texas Tech. I covered him when he was offensive coordinator at East Carolina, and they broke all sorts of receiving records when he was there. We know he can coach football, and we certainly know he can coach quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts is such a smart kid that I'm really, really curious to see what those guys unleash. I was talking about Marty Smith. I was just talking with Marty 5 minutes ago. I'm going to Texas, and he's going to Oklahoma, and we can't wait to get together on Monday and compare notes.
Well, when we go into this season, other than him, some of the best quarterbacks in college football, you've got Jake Fromm. As far as who you think, and I know there's still a season to play out here, and there's going to be a long amount of time that happens between now and the end of the season, things can change. Who do you think will be the most draftable quarterback or the top pick taken, knowing Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be able to for a couple of years?
Well, and that's it. All the NFL guys, I see them at the airport, I see them at practice, I see them everywhere. All they want to talk about is the guy they're not going to be allowed to draft, which is going to be Trevor Lawrence. But I'm super, super curious to see Sam Ellinger in person. And I'm going to see him on Saturday night. And I know it's a terrible team he's playing, but I want to see him because this is kind of a preview to their game against LSU the next week, which is why I'm going. I'm really curious to see him in person because people are so divided with him. But when I talk to NFL people, they love him, and he looks prototypical. He looks like the guy that, you know, you pick on Madden to be your quarterback. He's the guy that all those guys kind of drool over. So I'm really curious to see him. And listen, it's funny. We all agree that Tua is a great football player, but everybody's kind of lifting their foot off the gas with him this year because he was hurt. I think hurt way worse than anybody realized the whole second half of last season. And so I'm really curious to see what he can do. And but the NFL guys keep talking about Ellinger, and I'm finally going to get to see him in person.
You can follow Ryan McGee on Twitter at ESPN McGee, ESPN senior writer. Before we let you go, Got to ask you about our XFL team. We have one of the eight here in St. Louis, Ryan. You work with Tim Tebow a lot. Any chance Tim Tebow's quarterbacking career isn't over and that he would show up in the XFL here in St. Louis?
Well, let's keep it in mind now that I was told that he was going to play baseball, I thought it was a joke. And he is not going to be a major leaguer. He's not going to play in Cooperstown. But he's played in minor leagues a lot longer than I thought he was going to. So anything that Tim decides he's going to do, he could do it. The question is, does he want to? Because he has. Here's the funny thing about Tim. Like, I'm going to see him on Saturday on SEC Nation. And whenever I get on the bus, he's like, "Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?" And I'm like, "Good." He's like, "Well, what you been up to?" I'm like, "Well, Tim, you know, I took my truck into the shop and went to the beach." I'll be like, "Tim, what'd you do?" He's like, "Well, I spent the last month in Rwanda." You know, and he says it so matter-of-factly. So the point is, if Tim decides he wants to do it, he will do it. And I can't tell you where his mind is because I haven't figured it out yet.
Great stuff, Ryan. We always love having you on the show, and we'll do it during the season. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime.
See you later. That is our friend Ryan McGee, the ESPN.com senior writer and, of course, a friend of the show here in the Fast Lane. As we roll on, the Blues have a strong core of veteran players returning this season, but they've also got a strong core of players building with youngsters, too. That's next on 101 ESPN. That's Steve Ott, Blues assistant coach, last night on Blues Caravan here on 101 ESPN. I'm at a website right now called lifehacks.com. Somebody checks in and says, "I was wiping my eyes with my hands as they felt itchy, and I immediately felt a sharp burning sensation and realized that I had let pepper juice get into my eyes." BT, wow. Ever had that happen?
Yeah, Randy, like 2 seconds ago. I was having a nice Greek salad here that came with a peppercini, and I bit into the peppercini and shot myself right in the eye with peppercini juice. So
the answer apparently is to, for quick pain alleviation, put a cold, wet rag on the eye.
Well, we're doing a segment.
You could still do that if you...
I'll just blink a lot.
Yeah.
It's all right. I think it's everywhere.
Meet, get BT a wet rag. I'm sure we have a lot of those laying around.
The Blues are excited, obviously, about the core of late 20s guys, like Vladdy and Shen and O'Reilly and Petrangelo, that were the keys to winning a Stanley Cup. And it's not just those guys. Gene Schwartz is beyond 25 now. But there's some first and second year guys that Steve Ott just mentioned that the Blues are really excited about seeing. Sanford and Blay, who we saw do good things in the playoffs. Colton Parayko is only a fourth year guy, but he's still very young. And on the way, you have people like Thomas, who played last season, Jordan Kyrou. So in addition to the late 20s guys, I, fellas, am intrigued by the fact that the Blues have so many young people. There's a lot of teams in the league that would like to have that young core that the Stanley Cup champions have right now.
Yeah, which it just generally doesn't happen that way. Usually you see a team that just gets old quick, and then all of a sudden you don't have that coming. They do, and that's and I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but that's the hope, that you have a group of guys like Thomas, and it would be great if it were Kyrou as well, pushing the other ones, where you could just tell, it's like, holy crap, we got to keep up with these young bucks. I mean, they're doing their thing. They're ascending at a crazy high level. And when you have that nice balance of veteran players who have been there and done that, and then young, talented players who everyone knows at some point are good enough to take over for the ones that you have, that's how you build a great team, is, you know, having the both aspects of the game, getting those two to work together, having the young guys grow and push the older guys as well.
And you still have some defensemen, not just these. Yeah. We're not just talking about the forwards, but you've got defensemen that are on the right side
Vince
of
Dunn.
30 and Vince Dunn. And you've got Parayko at a good age. Petrangelo still at a good age. You're in good shape,
Eddie,
as far as that.
Joel Edmondson. Has shown,
you've got him coming
back. He's been
back
a good
defenseman
in this league.
Right, and I know he had some, and he took some beatings, and I think some of the criticism was warranted because he did have quite a few times that he was getting outside of his game. He was baited into retaliating, and that would cost them with power plays or going having to go on the penalty kill or some of the turnovers that would happen at inopportune times. But by and large, he's been pretty good for them. And he's going to make the sort of salary a guy who does what he does is going to make. Mm-hmm. He's not making like a ton more, and it's killing them
right.
In terms of the cap. He's okay.
And the other obvious young gun that they have is their goalie. Jordan Binnington is only 26 years old, just turned 26 in July, and you would think that he is going to be one of the best in the league, one of the 10 best in the league for the foreseeable future based upon what we know. In the time that I covered locker rooms on a regular basis, hockey, baseball, football, almost without fail, I got the impression that veteran players loved having young players, young wide-eyed players that brought new energy into the room. I do think that I talk about it because I really don't know the inner sanctum, but I do get the sense just from an outsider's view that youthful energy is a benefit to a team, especially a successful team.
Yeah, I think that there's a fine balance for anything, all right? So I agree with the you love having the young guy around, the talented one that's ready, that wants to learn. You don't need that guy to overstep his boundaries oftentimes and overturn the apple cart, if you will. Don't really need that. But yes, I mean, that's what, and I do believe it serves on multiple levels. First of all, just having young talent in any sport, don't care what it is, that's a good thing because you know it's sustainable for the foreseeable future. But I also believe that it really does get more out of your veteran players when you have young guys that are pushing them. And look, in a sport like hockey, it's ice time, it's shifts, it's all these things that guys are pushing you, trying to get more and more of.
I think about the energy, but then the respectfulness that we saw from Rob Thomas when we had him on the show. His respect for, obviously, veteran players like Keith Tkachuk that have played the game, but also the way he talked about the veteran players, too. So it is, like you say, BT, that energy, but it's not a guy that's walking in as the first pick in the draft that thinks he's the savior. That's different.
Guy walks in and starts changing the music right away.
Yeah,
what is
right.
this crap?
Yeah.
Who are you? Beat it.
You know what, though? I got to appreciate the guts on that dude that would walk in and do it. Man, I like this guy. Look at him. He's taking mm-hmm. over. But you know the other thing here? It's not just the energy, and it's not just, I guess, the emotional energy of it. It's the fact this team as a whole,
in its entirety,
with the exception of David Perron, it had played all the way through to the very end of the season longer than anybody else, with the exception of the Boston Bruins, played. And we know what that extra couple of months of hockey can do to you physically. But if you have players like Kyrou, who didn't play the entire season, like Zach Sanford, who didn't even play the entire season, played actually very few games for the Blues this year. When you have guys who are fresh in that way, who don't have all those miles on them that all these other players logged throughout 2018-19, that's a benefit too. Because, I mean, you can play around with minutes. You can let them take a little bit more of the workload and hopefully save it for other people.
And we'll see that absolutely during preseason, and I believe in the early part of the season, too. I didn't get to hear all of the interview with Craig Berube last night, but my sense is that early in the season as well, there will be some veteran guys that will get many fewer minutes so that they can rest and some of the young guys can get that opportunity. We might see a Mitch Rehnke up here for a while. We'll probably see a little bit more of a guy like Joel Edmondson. Kyrou will get his opportunities. It sure seems like the Blues want to give Robbie Fabbri every opportunity to be what we thought he was going to
Who's
be.
Who's that, Randy?
They might as well.
Robbie Fabbri. He's only 23.
Feels
like
there's
no reason to
forever.
Give up on
it
him.
It does,
yet.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll get an opportunity and take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah. Another guy I'm excited to watch is Klim Kostin. I want to see what he's all about.
So you run through the rosters and you see those 8 or 9, 10 players that are 26 or younger that the Blues have. I'll bet you there's teams that are rebuilding that if you say, I'll trade you these 10 guys for 10 of your guys that are under 23, there are rebuilding teams that would love to have that. And we aren't even talking about the Blues core that won the Stanley Cup. It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. By the way, the Blues will start training camp on the 13th, and their first preseason game, I believe, is already on the 16th of September. So it's right around the corner.
That's amazing.
Today is August 27th.
It's really incredible how quick that turnaround is when you win the cup.
Next up, a man in India survived a lightning strike and then died due to the treatment he received. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.